God, thank you so much for everyone here. Thank you for our kids in here. God, thank you for this time where we get to gather together with our church family and hear your word. I'm so thankful for everyone here. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible, and we have Bibles around the sanctuary as well, turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 38 through 56. And this part of Scripture is known as the Magnificat in Scripture. And that comes from Latin, and that's the beginning verses of this in Latin. It's kind of Mary's song. It's Magnificat anime mea Deo, my soul magnifies the Lord. But when I put this sermon title in to our media team, because our media team has something wrong with their brains a little bit, this is the image they sent to me. And I know you're going to have that in your head the whole morning, right? As we cover this amazing, beautiful song of Mary, all you're going to be thinking about is not Magnificat. And I'll talk about what Magnificat means later in the sermon. But all you're going to be thinking about is Magnificat, you know? And so you keep that with you as we go through Mary's song in Luke chapter 1, verses 38 through 56. So Mary has been told that she's going to be born, and she's been told it's going to cause some you know, struggles, because she's like, you know, I'm engaged and it's going to be a thing. And she's a teenage girl, all this other stuff. Here's what she says, starting at verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And I think, just before we're going to read more, of course, but before we even go on, it's almost like if you got a Bible, underline that. Don't underline the church Bibles, right? But if you got a Bible, underline that. If you got your own, if you got a digital Bible, highlight that. If you don't have any of that, write it down. That is like a life verse coming from this teenage girl from the Middle East. Just like, that's what it is. We could just say that over and over and over again. I've said that to myself over and over again. That's what I want to say to God. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. No matter how hard, no matter how impossible, no matter if it is going to cause scandal, no matter if people are going to understand me or not, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. Isn't that a great thing to say today for Christmas to God? God, you have given me so much. And in a sense, God, I am your present. I'm giving myself to you. God, here is my heart. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. I just think that's just incredible. I just think that's incredible. Verse 29, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. That's kind of her cousin or relative. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. But why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb, which is John the Baptist, jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. And we sing joy to the world because we believe that Jesus brings joy. Jesus brings joy in the midst of everything that we know that can go wrong in life. In the midst of all the struggles that we have, Jesus still brings joy. And it happens when we focus on Jesus more than anything else that's going on in life. And God knows that we have real things going on in our lives. God knows those hard things. But when we focus in on him, we actually can experience that joy. And I just think it's pretty amazing that John the Baptist, who's inside Elizabeth's womb, sees Jesus, who's only a couple of weeks old in the womb. And he could recognize Jesus as Jesus, and he leaped. I just think that's just a cool thing. And I love that as soon as Jesus came near, there's joy. As soon as Jesus came near, there's joy. And if you think about all these things of Christmas, I mean, you think about all the different adjectives and stuff that we can use, you know, peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace and our world needs peace. And you think about hope, and we're just longing for hope. And we have hope because we know Jesus is going to come and he's going to fulfill all his promises. We know that. But joy is another great one to put in there. Joy. Joy. And in our church, we talk about this all the time of like, when did you forget how to dance? right, before God and be a child. Do you know what I mean? When did you forget? When did you learn that I have to be embarrassed in front of other people thing, right? When did you forget how to go on stage with a cookie and just do this, right? When did you lose that, right? When was that moment? And because Jesus repeatedly talks about being a child and learning how to do that. And it's almost like we have to grow young. And that's one of the things I think is great about how our culture does Christmas is it reminds us to be children again. And we know as we grow up, it's almost a battle to hold on to joy. Because it just feels like the world and the brokenness of life and some things that are no one's fault, they just are, just constantly chip away at joy. And it's almost like we have to keep going back to God and keep going back to that kind of the eternity of God and the youthfulness of who he's made us to be and just go, how do I remember that joy? Not that we don't mature, not that we don't get wisdom. Don't mistake me here. But where we remember joy, where we remember all that great stuff. See, when did you forget you could talk in the middle of a sermon? When did that point come in your life? I think it's great. You guys okay with all that? Yeah, that's great. Well, we're good. We're good. We got joy. Let's keep going. In verse 46, Mary responded. This is where it's the Magnificat comes from. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy. And he has done great things for me. That word Magnificat means magnify. Means magnify. And the idea is when she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And you guys know what the word magnify means. It means to take something and to enlarge it, to make it bigger, which is an interesting thing because you can't make God any bigger, right? God's the biggest he can be. But you can focus in on him and make him bigger in your view. Do you see what I'm saying here? You are going to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's a total focusing in, enlarging how big God is in your life. And honest, just even thinking about that word, it makes you stop and think, how magnified is God in my life? I mean, most people believe in God. That's not the question. So it's hard as a pastor sometimes, like, you got to believe in God and follow God. I'm like, yep, check, check, check. But I love this word, are you magnifying God in your life? Because that takes God from being maybe a sliver or being a chunk. And it's like, how do I just keep magnifying God? And some of you are thinking, well, God can't be all of my life. And you go, well, can you magnify God at work? Oh, yeah, I probably could do that. Oh, well, then that would mean I'd work a little differently. Oh, there you go. Can I magnify God in my relationships? Yeah. What about my finances? Yeah. What about in my free time? Yeah. What about in my resting? A lot of people don't think God wants them to rest. And then you ask them, they go, well, no, yeah, God wants me to rest. And they go, well, then do you feel guilty when you're resting? Yeah. Do you know God wants you to rest? Yeah. So you feel guilty doing what God wants you to do? No, I hate you, Pastor. It goes on like that. All that sort of stuff. But you see what I'm saying? Jesus says, come unto me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So how do we learn how to live into these rhythms of rest and magnifying and all this other stuff? I remember being in high school, and I used to kind of evaluate songs, and worship songs I liked better. I mean, I did it for other songs too, which worship songs I liked better. And we'd even talk with our church friends, and we thought we were spiritual because we were talking about which songs we liked better and not, right? And one day, one of our leaders came up and said, well, what are you guys talking about? And we told him, and he said, well, here's my question. Which songs does God like best? These youth leaders, right? And I said, we thought about it for a little while, and then I came back to him. I said, I don't think God necessarily cares about which song we're singing. He doesn't necessarily have favorites. He really cares about our heart in worship. See, I knew the right answer, right? And so I felt good about myself. So the leader, very smart, very clever, very wise, said, okay, so then you care about certain songs. God just cares about your heart. So when you're singing in worship, does it matter more what you like or what God likes? And I had this little light bulb moment where I went, oh no. And I realized, oh, so maybe it doesn't actually matter what song I'm singing. It matters the heart I have as I'm singing it. And maybe sometimes it even matters more if I'm singing a song I don't like a ton, but how do I make sure God likes it a ton, even if it's not my preference? And I felt like even in high school, I was starting to finally grow up a little bit. I'm still not there totally, but I was starting to mature a little bit of going, maybe this isn't about me. Maybe this isn't about what I like. Maybe it isn't about my preferences. And when I started living that way with God, I started to magnify God and to go, I'm here to serve God, which is why it's called a worship service. We're here serving God. We're saying, God, I'm bringing you my attention. I'm bringing you, and just think about what you're doing right now. This is rare. You're giving someone who's speaking attention around God's word. Most people don't do that, right? We're always on our phones and scrolling, and it's just, we struggle with that. You are fighting against that right now. And plus, it's Christmas. That's a double fighting against it, right? You're like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to make that happen. That's just so cool. I just love that we're doing that. We are magnifying the Lord, and we magnify God in worship, and we magnify God by being here. Go for it, Luke. What's your question? Why are people on phones? That is such a good question. That is such a good question. Yeah, because we are mostly visual-oriented people, and they have figured out a way to make us pay attention quicker, quicker, quicker. So there's a study that shows the average American attention span is like 7 seconds, which is less than a chimpanzee. Yeah. Yeah. And the things we're doing are actually lowering our attention span. So you guys are fighting that, and I'm just super proud of that. I'm super proud to be here. Mary is saying, and think again about this. We'll bring it back to scripture here. Mary is saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. She's saying this again as this young teenager thrust into this very difficult situation, but she says, amen. And again, we all go through some very tough stuff, but I love her response to this very tough situation. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Even if she has to be carried away crying, she's still okay. All right. We're going to bring it back into verse 50. It says this, God shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. I'm going to read those last couple verses again, just so you don't miss them. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. This is this theme of reversal. He's filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away with empty hands. This is an interesting Christmas song, right? I mean, we're always like, oh, it's just so wonderful, and the joy to the world is absolutely true, and God's come, and peace on earth, and all this other stuff. But part of Mary's Christmas song was, there needs to be justice on earth. So it's not just joy on earth and peace on earth. There needs to be, the way things are is not right. And she's singing this as someone who's being occupied by foreign invaders and feeling the sense of things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And her own people, her own religious ruling power, government people were not making things better. They were making things worse. Jesus was actually there to show them this is the way you need to deal with a foreign occupying power. And she's sitting there going, it just seems like corruption keeps spreading and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And God, may your son change the world. May he actually change the way justice works. May he change the way the systems work. And that may seem like, Scott, I don't want to talk about any of this stuff on Christmas, but it's in the Bible, right? This is part of Mary's song. This is part of what we're actually about for Christmas as Christians, which means our Christmas is always going to be a little different. Because we actually go, how can we weave in Christmas and justice and understand that that's what's part of God's plan? One Christian worship band even called their Christmas album the Peace Project. Of like, God was actually sending down his son to change the way people did life itself. And part of that, you probably know, is not just that we believe in God from a distance, is that God himself comes to live in us. He's not just born in a manger, he's born in our hearts. And that changes how we live our lives and do life and do everything, and hopefully changes the way we do justice too. Okay, caring about people, and it's a huge theme in the Bible. Jesus, when he did ministry, live these themes out. He said, blessed are the poor. I know you said a bunch of them, so sorry about that. Yeah. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That was my bad. That's my bad. Okay. The blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But Jesus identified with outcasts and the lowly and just made it a point to speak against the abuses of power that were happening in his day. And he did that in love. He did that with care. He didn't do it to divide people, but he did it to speak the truth and make change. Jesus, if you even look at it, spoke and worked against the power structures of his day. So he had respect for them, but when it came to stand in front of the high priest, who was more of like a government official than a religious official, he was willing to speak the truth and say, this isn't the way it should be. He knew when to speak and he knew when not to speak. He didn't really say much in front of Herod. Okay, because Herod was a corrupt, completely corrupt leader who had also killed his cousin, John the Baptist, the one we just read about. So when it came to him, he didn't say anything. When it came to Pilate, he'd said something. But Pilate didn't want to listen. Pilate said, well, what's truth? He's kind of a relativist. Okay, so he's just dealing with all this stuff, but he was willing to speak into those power systems. We can have the courage to do that as well. Because if Mary could sing about it, then we can sing about it too. Okay? All right, let's wrap these verses here. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then went back to her own home. I love here that as Mary's wrapping up her song, she brings it back to the bigger story of God. She remembers that we're part of a bigger story. It's not just me alone right here, me and Jesus. That's it. I'm done. Jesus, Mary remembers, and she says, no, you've remembered your promise to Abraham, Abraham who lived thousands of years before her. She's bringing it back into that story. I remember being a youth pastor and talking to the youth, many of whom had never read the Bible or never heard the stories in the Bible, and I would talk to them about the Old Testament, and I would talk to them about how in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Bible actually says that we are children of Abraham. That's in Galatians, if you want to check that out. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, basically all those promises to Abraham, you have now been grafted into that family. And those promises are few. You are descendant of Abraham. And they said, I said, so that story, those are actually, when you're adopted into a family, those ancestors become your ancestors. Those stories become your, I said, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's your family history. You've been adopted into that family. And I just love when you see these kids, many of whom had broken homes and felt abandoned, to go, I have a family history that goes back thousands of years. I know it. I get to hear it. I get to tell it. I get to be part of it. I get to continue it. I think it's really important for us. Many of us don't know how our own family history. We don't know how far back it goes. And if we do, it's usually only a couple hundred years. So realize we're part of this family story that goes on for thousands of years. And we get to still keep telling it. It's just super cool. And I think that really grounds us on Christmas Day. Because we're here with our church family, but we're realizing we're part of a bigger story. And that story includes justice. That story includes how do we make the world a better place. And that story includes hanging out with our family, both in church and at home. And today or this week, when someone says something really rude or inappropriate to you, you're going to try to respond like Jesus. And there's already people pointing fingers at each other in this room. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to try and live that way as Christians. Okay? Just super powerful and amazing thing. And I love that. I want to tell you kind of a story here, and then we'll wrap up our sermon and move towards the end of the service. See, I told you I could preach for less than 45 minutes. Aren't you proud of me? I know. My family's clapping. I'm not looking in their direction. Yeah. Okay. So the story of a boy who was working on his Christmas list, and he just wanted these presents so badly, so badly. So he was writing a letter to God, and they said, dear God, here's all the stuff that I want. I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And God, I have been a very good boy for the last 6 months. And then he crossed that out and said, 3 months. And then he crossed that out and he said, month. And then he crossed that out and he got up and he went over to the manger scene and he saw the shepherds and the angels and the baby Jesus. And he knelt down at the manger and he grabbed the baby Jesus and he put the baby Jesus in a napkin, wrapped it up very gently, and put Jesus in his drawer and closed it. And he went back to his note and he said, "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again." Some people are happy, some people are shaking their heads in disgust at me right now. Should we pray and wrap up? I think we should pray. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, that you actually paid the ransom for us. You paid for our sins and you came to be born. It's so good to be here today with my church family. So thankful for everybody here. Be with us today as we go our different ways, as we hang out even here and connect. Lord, it's good to be together. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Christmas. What a gift this holiday is. We love you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.